News now.
Special report, protests across America. Minneapolis banned police chokeholds in the aftermath of the in-custody death of George Floyd. Correspondent Jim Roop reports California Governor Gavin Newsom ordered the state's police training program to stop teaching officers how to use a neck hold.
While chokeholds are banned, strangleholds are not.
That literally is designed to stop people's blood from flowing into their brain. That has no place any longer.
He says he'll back any legislation calling for statewide standards.
In a video post, NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell responded to players who voiced their concerns about racism, encouraging peaceful protests in the fight for equality.
Without black players, there would be no National Football League. And the protests around the country are emblematic of the centuries of silence, inequality, and oppression of black players, coaches, fans, and staff.
A massive demonstration is set for today in the nation's capital. I'm Barbara Cusack. Black Lives Matter protests brought thousands of demonstrators to state capitals across Australia today to honor the memory of George Floyd. That cry for justice could be heard in Canada yesterday. As correspondent Paula Newton reports, the Prime Minister was front and center.
Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau made an unexpected visit to the Ottawa protests, even taking a knee, which was a very powerful image on the streets, even as some people denounced his actions earlier in the week when it took him 21 seconds to decide whether or not he would denounce the actions of U.S. President Donald Trump.
Joe Biden formally clinched the Democratic presidential nomination. He pulled together the 1,991 delegates needed to become the nominee after seven states and the District of Columbia held presidential primaries Tuesday. The D-Day remembrance in Normandy today, time for silent reflection amid the coronavirus pandemic. I'm Barbara Cusack.
You looking for a positive? I've got it. Use your life insurance while you're living. MyTermLifeGuy.com. Look, with everything that we've been through, don't just think about your family. You got to think about you. Term life insurance. Get one that lets you use it while you're living. MyTermLifeGuy.com. It's that simple. MyTermLifeGuy.com. A $1 million policy for a healthy male non-smoker below $35 a month. MyTermLifeGuy.com.
Sponsored by Gold Coast Insurance Group.
Back to work at that J-O-B, the one you realized isn't for you? Well, that's if you're lucky, right? Make your move. You can start a new life as an IT pro in as little as 4 months from the comfort of your own home, even if you have zero computer experience. Take control of your future now. Go to mycomputercareer.edu and take the free career evaluation today. Live online classes meet just twice a week. It's not rocket science. It's mycomputercareer.edu.
Senate Democrats introduced a bill to limit presidential power under the Insurrection Act, as correspondent Linda Kenyon reports.
The bill would require consultation with Congress before a president can invoke the Insurrection Act to deploy active-duty military troops in U.S. cities. The bill also would limit the use of the Insurrection Act for a period of 14 days, unless Congress passes a resolution to extend it. Earlier this week, President Trump said he would use the 1807 law to tamp down protests in the nation's capital.
With students turning to at-home learning amid the coronavirus pandemic, it is believed that the average student could begin the next school year having lost as much as a third of the expected progress from the previous year in reading and half of the expected progress in math. That's according to a working paper from the nonprofit NWEA, along with Brown University and University of Virginia scholars. I'm Barbara Cusack.
They call it the new censorship. Social media companies like Facebook, Twitter, Google, and YouTube are being criticized for banning political messages or stories that discuss alternative treatments for the coronavirus. One big media company is even asking Twitter to ban President Trump. Now, Newsmax TV is asking the tough questions about the dangers to our freedoms. With the 2020 election coming, watch Newsmax TV's special reports from Sean Spicer all this week exposing the threats to free speech. Each weekday at 6 p.m. Eastern, Sean Spicer tackles the big issues on Newsmax TV, America's fastest-growing cable news channel. Newsmax TV is on all major cable systems, DirecTV, Xfinity, Dish, Spectrum, Cox, Optimum, Fios, UVerse, Suddenlink, Mediacom, Armstrong, and more. Watch Newsmax TV and see great shows with Michelle Malkin, Mike Huckabee, Greg Kelly, Alan Dershowitz, and Herman Cain. Check your cable guide and get Newsmax TV. It's real news for real people.
WMAL traffic, I'm Michelle Murray. On the outer loop of the Beltway, just prior to Kenilworth Avenue, there is accident activity, but looks like that is confined to the right shoulder. Just use extra caution there. Traveling in Maryland on 270, so far no delays from Germantown to the Beltway. Keep in mind on 109, right near Thurston Road, reports of debris in the roadway, so use extra caution in that area. Numerous streets in the district will be closed today for demonstration activities, including K Street between Connecticut Avenue and 14th Street. Now from GarageDoorRepair.com, the WMAL Stormwatch 7 forecast.
Some areas of patchy fog this morning. Otherwise, though, partly cloudy today. Could see an isolated storm. Best chance south and east of D.C. Highs around 90 degrees. As we head later on tonight, cold front shifts through. Lower humidity. Lows back in the 60s. For your Sunday, plenty of sunshine. Very comfortable. Highs in the lower 80s. I'm ABC 7 meteorologist Alex Liggett in the Stormwatch 7 Weather Center.
Money news shouldn't be boring, especially with so much uncertainty these days.
This idea that stimulus coming and we want to own more gold, what are they referring to here?
I'm not sure that I'm entirely agreeing with them.
So learn and laugh with Joe Saucyhide
and OG
on the Stacking Benjamin Show,
where there's a money party in Joe's mom's basement going on right now.
Please, please tell us, what should we have learned today?
Listen and subscribe to the Stacking Benjamin Show free on Apple Podcasts
or wherever you enjoy audio.
Back to work at that J-O-P, the one you realized isn't for you? Well, that's if you're lucky, right? Make your move. You can start a new life as an IT pro in as little as 4 months from the comfort of your own home, even if you have zero computer experience. Take control of your future now. Go to mycomputercareer.edu and take the free career evaluation today. Live online classes meet just twice a week. It's not rocket science. It's mycomputercareer.edu.
For the ones we trust to always be there. For the ones caring for others. For the ones who keep things going, no matter where they are. In extraordinary times, extraordinary people step up, like the ones standing guard and standing on the front lines. And the ones who are staying apart while still working together. With your efforts, we will get through this. We're grateful for all you do. Visit Grainger.com for resources that can help as you create your recovery plan. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
There are everyday actions to help prevent the spread of respiratory diseases. Wash your hands. Avoid close contact with people who are sick. Avoid touching your eyes, nose, and mouth. Stay home when you are sick. Cover your cough or sneeze. Clean and disinfect frequently touched objects with household cleaning spray. For more information, visit cdc.gov/COVID-19. This message brought to you by the National Association of Broadcasters and this station.
Whether you're buying a home or trying to lower your interest rate, finding the right mortgage company is often stressful and time-consuming. Listen this Saturday to the Mortgage Radio Show at 1 p.m. and now on Sunday at 3 p.m. The Mortgage Radio Show is your trusted source for mortgage news. Every weekend, host Teresa Strasser and Sean Metter will give you helpful tools for finding the right mortgage product to fit your needs. So tune in to WMAL every Saturday at 1 p.m. or Sunday at 3 p.m. for the latest rates and information from Network Capital Funding here on WMAL.
Now, the Saturday morning update.
Good morning. It is the Saturday morning update. I'm Rick Bonner. Jeff Wolf is behind the console. Jane Houghton is producing for us this morning. And we obviously have a lot to cover on the Saturday morning update today as major demonstrations are planned in Washington. As you heard in the 6 o'clock news, street closures downtown from 14th Street up to Connecticut Avenue along K Street. And obviously areas around the White House will be closed off. Bob Costantini has been covering the protests in Washington all week. He will be there today, and we will talk with Bob Costantini within the next half hour or so. We'll get the very latest on the preparations for those massive protests today. If you have been in downtown Washington over the past few days, you may have noticed that many, many buildings are boarded up in anticipation of trouble. The late-night violence has resulted in looting as far out as Friendship Heights. You may not be aware of that if you haven't been following the news that closely. Rodman's out by Friendship Heights was broken into. The CVS at Wisconsin, just up from Albemarle Street, right at the corner of Wisconsin and Brandywine. To give you a sense of how far out some of the problems have been, Also, if you were to go along Connecticut Avenue in Washington, not far from the zoo is a stretch of restaurants and stores on Connecticut Avenue, and you will find those stores are boarded up. So the effects of the protests and the violence that we've seen in Washington have not been limited to that area just within a few blocks of the White House. Now, again, we have a lot to cover. We're going to be joined by Jennifer Harper. She writes Inside the Beltway for the Washington Times. We're going to talk to her about the stock market reaction on Friday. Jobs numbers out, the stock market soared. And we're going to be talking with Jennifer Harper about that very shortly this morning. Also, we'll be talking about media bias and how the coverage has been this week and how that involves President Trump. And also within this hour, we're going to be taking a slight diversion. For singles, dating has been significantly impacted during the COVID-19 stay-at-home orders. And we're going to talk with somebody that's a professional at dating and works with the company It's Just Lunch. You might be familiar with It's Just Lunch, and we're going to talk with them and see, you know, how people are handling that. So we will have one light moment within this hour. Then we'll talk with John Gizzi, and he's actually been down covering the protests. He's walked with the crowds, and we'll get his reaction. And John has seen a change in tone over the week, toward the end of the week, and we're going to talk with John about that. You may have heard a rumor that George W. Bush was planning to endorse Joe Biden. Well, John Gizzi tracked that down, and we'll find out what that story is. Cheryl Atkinson joins us in the 7 o'clock hour, and she's done a podcast on, it's really an in-depth analysis of many of the high-profile police-involved court cases, including Rodney King. And in that podcast, she talks about what to expect in the case against the Minneapolis police officers from both the prosecution and the defense. And we're going to be talking with Cheryl about that this morning. And then KT McFarland joins us. We'll talk with KT about Rod Rosenstein's testimony this week, surprising testimony from Rod Rosenstein. We'll get her impressions on that. We'll talk with Lieutenant Colonel Tony Schaefer. You may have seen General Mattis came out very, very critical of President Trump this week, and we'll get a reaction from Lieutenant Colonel Tony Schaefer. We'll also talk with Tony about defunding the police. You may have heard a couple of members of the Minneapolis City Council actually want to disband the Minneapolis police. So we'll be talking with Lieutenant Colonel Tony Schaefer about that. A couple of quick audio clips before we get into things this morning. Wanted to go to a comment that Joe Biden made on Thursday, and it got a lot of reaction on Friday. Now, you all recall the Hillary Clinton Trump deplorables comment, and she got a lot of backlash for that. Some people say it may have cost her the election. And this is a clip from Joe Biden, and the question is this Joe Biden's deplorables moment?
Do we really think this is as good as we can be as a nation? I don't think the vast majority of people think that. There are probably anywhere from 10 to 15% of the people out there that are just not very good people. But that's not who we are. The vast majority of people are decent. We have to appeal to that, and we have to unite people, bring them together.
10 to 15% are not very good people. So that's caused a flurry of commentary, obviously, among the conservative pundits. And the word is that more of the Democratic leadership scratching their heads as to what to expect next from Joe Biden. And we'll see how that one plays out. Now, there's been a lot of talk about how divisive President Trump has been and how he continues to want to divide the nation. And that was a lot of what General Mattis said. And Joe Biden was on the same page with General Mattis when it comes to Trump and divisiveness.
The words the president says matter. So when a president stands up and divides people all the time, you're going to get the worst of us to come out, the worst in us all to come out.
The irony is not Joe Biden been working very hard to divide the country in order to secure his base and in order to secure the nomination and in order to secure the election? Divisiveness especially in a political campaign season, sort of works on both sides of the fence. So that's the comment there from Joe Biden. Now, there are a couple of clips real quick that we want to get to from President Trump yesterday. And first off, the president is addressing the George Floyd situation. And these are fresh comments from the president yesterday.
Equal justice under the law must mean that every American receives equal treatment in every encounter with law enforcement, regardless of race, color, gender, or creed. They have to receive fair treatment from law enforcement. They have to receive it. We all saw what happened last week. We can't let that happen. Hopefully, George is looking down right now and saying, this is a great thing that's happening for our country. This is a great day for him. It's a great day for everybody. This is a great day for everybody. This is a great, great day in terms of equality.
The president talked about the situation with the governors. I just wanted to play this in its full context. It's been cut up, and you may have seen clips of this, but I wanted to give you the full context.
I'm suggesting to some of these governors that are too proud in New York. I mean, you see what's going on there. Don't be proud. Get the job done. You'll end up looking much better in the end. Call in the National Guard. Call me. We'll have so many people, more people than you have to dominate the streets. You can't let what's happening happen. It's called dominate the streets. You can't let that happen in New York where they're breaking into stores and all of the things. And by the way, hurting many small businesses, you can't let it happen.
So that's the fuller context of President Trump's comments yesterday. It's 6:17. It's the Saturday Morning Update on WMAL. Time for a check of the traffic and weather. And Michelle Murray's in the WMAL Traffic Center this morning.
Overall, traffic is moving well on the Capitol Beltway this morning, but on the outer loop just prior to Kenilworth Avenue, there is an incident on the right shoulder to be aware of. So far, as you travel the interstates in Virginia, things are looking good on 95 and 395, though keep in mind the express lanes are closed on 395, headed from Etzel Road to the 14th Street Bridge, and on 95 from Aquia Harbor all the way in towards Springfield. Also keep in mind multiple streets closed today due to demonstration activities, including 14th Street between Independence Avenue and L Street. Now from GarageDoorRepair.com, the WMAL Stormwatch 7 forecast.
Some areas of patchy fog this morning. Otherwise, though, partly cloudy today. Could see an isolated storm. Best chance south and east of D.C. Highs around 90 degrees. As we head later on tonight, cold front shifts through. Lower humidity. Lows back in the 60s. For your Sunday, plenty of sunshine. Very comfortable. Highs in the lower 80s. I'm ABC 7 meteorologist Alex Liggett in the Stormwatch 7 Weather Center.
Currently in the nation's capital, 72 degrees at 6:17 on the Saturday Morning Update.
Washington's Mall, WMAL, where Washington comes to talk.
It is the Saturday Morning Update on WMAL. Thank you for being with us. Jennifer Harper joins us. She writes Inside the Beltway at the Washington Times, and she keeps a very close watch on the media and the polls and what people are feeling around the country. First off, good morning.
Good morning, Rick. Good morning, everybody.
I know you follow the national media very closely and the networks. And I wanted to get your assessment of the coverage this week. Depending on what network you watch, you have a completely different picture of America.
Well, I have to tell you, this isn't my picture. This is of some of our friends over at newsbusters.org. It's a great press watchdog, and they did a very comprehensive and sort of sobering analysis of some of the coverage. And, you know, you think that in the middle of a national emergency that the major broadcast networks are going to come up with something that's less emotionally charged against President Trump, but that's just not true. And I think probably a lot of listeners have already seen this. And let's talk about this new study from Newsbusters. It's very succinct and talks a lot about Washington, actually. Because they have done a study about the coverage from ABC, CBS, and NBC. And here's what they did. They found out that between all three of those networks, they devoted a total of 69 seconds of coverage pertaining to the destruction of the historic St. John's Church right by the White House. Everybody knows where it is, and I know where it is, you know where it is, and the structure certainly we know was set afire, defaced, vandalized, etc. So the three networks managed to give them 69 seconds of coverage. And according to analyst Kyle Drennan, who with a team looked at all of this coverage, he said on Tuesday of this week, those same broadcasts devoted a combined 30 minutes of coverage to hyping the outrage over President Trump visiting the same church on Monday evening. Now, think about that. 39 seconds for the church and 30 minutes for the outrage against President Trump for visiting the church. And they analyzed quite a few of the anchors and what they had to say. And Mr. Drennan's final comment, which I thought was pretty good, he said, in addition to the initial hyperbolic coverage of Trump's church visit on Tuesday, all three of the morning shows were welcoming some of the left-wing comments and teeing them up to repeatedly slam the president. And they said, if journalists want to criticize the timing and optics of Trump visiting a church, they should at least be as outraged by rioters who set that church on fire a day earlier. And that's coming from Kyle Drennan over at newsbusters.org. Always an interesting site.
We've seen the intensity in the presidential campaign heat up this week. Joe Biden has been out and about making a number of attacks on President Trump and President Trump firing right back. What are the majority of voters telling you about where they stand?
Well, this is another interesting, some more interesting research here about how voters are feeling amidst all of this. And sometimes you got to wonder if all the histrionics and drama of the presidential campaign, which really is just beginning to hit its stride. We've got a number of months until it finally ends. But here's something from a CBS poll. This is a poll of registered U.S. voters, and it's very current. It was conducted May 29th through June 1st. And here's what they say. 75% of all U.S. voters say that the level of support that they have for their current choice in presidential candidate is very strong, and I've decided already. So 75% of voters have already made up their minds there. That includes 81% of Republicans and 76% of Democrats as well, even though they, you know, it's undetermined who their candidate is. And also 19% of voters say their support for their candidate is strong and I probably won't change. And then 5% overall said the support is somewhat strong and I might change. But the most telling number of all, only 1% of the voters in this poll said that their support for their candidate is not too strong and I'll probably change. The takeaway message is that people have already made up their mind. Lots and lots have already made up their mind who they're voting for. So we're kind of looking at a lot of political theater if this poll is right.
Where do the faith voters play into this?
This is a very interesting question that you ask because, you know, since churches have been closed during the pandemic for many, many weeks, you have to know that members of the clergy have been very, very busy. And there is a trio of evangelical pastors out there, and they are busiest of all, perhaps, because they are determined to rally what they say is the 25 million Christian voters who sit out the elections. They just don't vote. And they're determined to rally them. And these gentlemen, it's Reverend Johnny Moore, Reverend Samuel Rodriguez, and Pastor Jentison Franklin. And they are co-chairs of Our Church Votes. This is a very bold grassroots campaign. You know, they sent me some of the stuff that they're going to be doing, and they're trying to get out the faith vote, not only for the presidential ballot, but for 100,000 other state and local elections. And they say that the strength of their effort is in its simplicity, and it kind of sounds like the after church socializing that you hear about or go to. And they've offering ready-to-use tools online for all the local pastors and their congregations to mobilize the, quote, people in the pews and get them registered when the time comes. And their outreach includes election prayer guides, how-to plans for a voter registration Sunday, trimmers on technology, promotional suggestions, et cetera. And according to Reverend Rodriguez, and he is actually the president of the National Hispanic Christian Leadership Conference. This is a network of 40,000 Hispanic churches, certainly a lot of influence there. And he's saying we simply want to make it easier for churches to do what they should do, which is tell their congregations to vote. Christians and pastors cannot stand on the sidelines. One's vote is the first line to protect righteousness and justice in our society. So if you're curious about their outreach, it's interesting to look at. It's My Faith Votes, and that's myfaithvotes.org, and all the details can be found at ourchurchvotes.org. So I might want to peek at that maybe tomorrow on Sunday. Who knows? But that's what's up with the faith voters.
So you follow the polls to get a sense of attitudes, but there's another way to measure attitudes, and that's investor attitude. And what happened on the stock market this week?
Oh, my goodness. This is one of these wait, what moments, because amidst all of the public unrest and the pandemic and so forth and so on, two things happened. A lot of people paid attention to the fact that the U.S. was predicted to lose 8.5 million jobs due to coronavirus, but they gained 2.5 million jobs in May, so everybody's very excited. So fans of President Trump, they often wonder how that record-breaking stock market was so diminished quickly to a real shadow of its former self in just a few weeks. But something amazing has happened, and it's all reflected in a lot of headlines here. For example, mass protests across the United States have no impact on stocks. What gives? That's from Forbes. The stock market continues to look past the coronavirus pandemic and civil unrest. That came from Investors Business Daily, which is kind of a yay moment. But here's what the numbers are. It is record-breaking. I'm going to quote to you from an analysis that came from Jim Hoft. He's the founder of Gateway Pundit, and this is just very succinct. He said, this is record-breaking. The Dow is up more than 7,000 points in the last 2 months. The increase in record-shattering, as the Dow has never gone up more in a two-month period. Liberals cheered as the markets plummeted in February and March, after reaching another all-time high on February 12th of 29,551. They were praying for a depression or a recession which would doom the Trump presidency, and the coronavirus took down the economy and markets, and that's all turned around. On March 23rd, the Dow closed at 18,000. That was the lowest the market had been since the president was elected. But over the past 2 months, the Dow gained back over 7,000 points. And on Tuesday, the Dow closed at 25. It's already up to 27,000 if you're watching this. But anyway, the takeaway message is the investors are ignoring everything and going forward.
Well, you know, we're all familiar with the dog ate my homework excuse for students wanting to get a break on their grades. But you've got a new one?
Yes. Well, there's always a new one anyway when we talk about the ivy-covered halls around America. And this time it wasn't the dog eating the homework. It was the protest eating the homework. Students at the University of California at San Diego are now calling upon school officials to alter their final grades because they have had stress. They have felt stress during the recent ongoing public unrest. And the students are demanding that the officials change their final grades because of police brutality and protests. This is coming from The Guardian, which is the on-campus publication at the school. The students have launched a public email, and they've given all of their peers a template kind of letter to send to their teachers and their professors to make sure that they grade them fairly, and this is what they say in their letter. Please do not force students that are paralyzed by the current events to disengage in their political environment. Please do not prioritize students' exams over their mental and emotional health. Please do not force students to choose their testing and grades over their obligation to protect and care about human rights. Anyway, that's a letter that's going out from students at the University of California at San Diego to their professors and so forth. And according to the College Fix, a very interesting site if you want to find out the latest outrageous things that are going on at some of the higher institutions of learning, the universal pass-fail or universal pass appears to be the favorite grade modification among the students there. So that's what's up at the ivy-covered hall.
Jennifer Harper, Inside the Beltway at the Washington Times, thank you very much for being with us. It's 6:30 on WMAL, and taking a look at the news at this hour. Washington is preparing for a major demonstration today as mourners prepare for a second memorial service for George Floyd. Of course, he died 12 days ago in Minneapolis at the hands of Minneapolis police officers. Formal and impromptu memorials to George Floyd have stretched from Minnesota to Paris, Rome, and Johannesburg. In his birthplace of North Carolina, a public viewing and private service for family is planned for today, and authorities here in Washington preparing for what is expected to be the largest demonstration against police brutality here in Washington so far. Attorney General William Barr says law enforcement officers were already moving to push back protesters from Lafayette Park in front of the White House when he arrived there on Monday evening. He says he did not give a command to disperse the crowd. Those comments in an interview yesterday with the Associated Press. That's his most detailed explanation yet of what unfolded outside the White House earlier this week. Shortly after that, officers pushed back demonstrators, and President Trump and others walked through Lafayette Park to pose for a photo at the St. John's Church that had been burned during the protest. Two Brooklyn lawyers accused of tossing a Molotov cocktail at an empty NYPD vehicle during a chaotic George Floyd protest last weekend are in jail for now. Princeton graduate Collinford Mattis, he's 32, his alleged accomplice and fellow lawyer Uruj Rahman, is 31. They lost their home detention status on Friday. Three federal judges ordered them returned to official custody. It's pending a further review of the Fed's push to get their bail revoked for good. They were initially granted permission to stay in their respective homes after they posted $250,000 bail. Mattis is a Brooklyn Community Board 5 member. He allegedly drove Rahman in his minivan through a clash between the protesters and cops at the 88th Precinct Station House early Saturday. Allegedly, Rahman exited the car and threw the Molotov cocktail into an already broken window of a New York Police Department vehicle. The two are facing 5 to 20 years in prison for the attack, if convicted. Joe Biden has formally clinched the Democratic presidential nomination, sets him up for a challenge to President Donald Trump that will play out against the unprecedented backdrop of a pandemic, economic collapse, and civil unrest. The former vice president has effectively been his party's leader since his last challenger, Bernie Sanders, ended his campaign in April. But Biden did officially pull together the 1,991 delegates needed to become the nominee after 7 states and D.C. held presidential primaries on Tuesday. Biden reaching the threshold 3 days after the primaries because several states, overwhelmed by huge increases in mail-in ballots, took days to tabulate. Facebook says it has removed nearly 200 social media accounts linked to white supremacy groups planning to rally members to show up at protests over police killings of African Americans. The Facebook and Instagram users were associated with the Proud Boys and American Guard, two racist groups already banned on Facebook. The officials at Facebook said yesterday the platform was already planning to remove the accounts for violating its ban on hate groups, but decided to act sooner when the groups attempted to exploit the protests prompted by the death of George Floyd in Minneapolis. That's a look at the news. Michelle Murray is in the WMAL Traffic Center this morning.
On 270 southbound at Old Georgetown Road, getting reports of an accident, so use caution there. On the outer loop of the Beltway, just prior to Kenilworth Avenue, there is some accident activity there on the right shoulder to be aware of. Also, a heads up today, many streets in the district will be closed today for demonstration activities, including Constitution Avenue between Pennsylvania Avenue and 19th Street and Pennsylvania Avenue between 3rd Street and 15th Street. Now, vehicles will be allowed to enter the restricted area if they're on essential business or traveling to and from their residence. Now from GarageDoorRepair.com, the WMAL Stormwatch 7 forecast.
Some areas of patchy fog this morning. Otherwise, though, partly cloudy today. Could see an isolated storm. Best chance south and east of D.C. Highs around 90 degrees. As we head later on tonight, cold front shifts through. Lower humidity. Lows back in the 60s. For your Sunday, plenty of sunshine. Very comfortable. Highs in the lower 80s. I'm ABC 7 meteorologist Alex Liggett in the Stormwatch 7 Weather Center.
In the nation's capital, 70 degrees. It's 6:35 on the Saturday morning update on WMAL.
When it comes to using data, everyone is different. Which is why Xfinity Mobile created a different kind of wireless network. One that's designed to save you money by letting you design your own data, giving you more choice and control compared to other top wireless carriers. Now, you can choose unlimited, shared data, or mixed lines of each and switch any line, anytime. No one else lets you do that, or automatically connects you to millions of secure Wi-Fi hotspots and the best LTE everywhere else. So no matter where you are, we've got you covered. All while saving up to $400 a year on your wireless bill. Xfinity Mobile. It's wireless reimagined. Call, visit a store, or go to XfinityMobile.com today. Simple. Easy. Awesome. Restrictions apply. Not available in all areas. Requires residential postpay Xfinity Internet. Actual savings vary and are not guaranteed. For Xfinity Mobile broadband disclosures, visit www.xfinity.com/mobile.
You looking for a positive? I've got it. Use your life insurance while you're living. MyTermLifeGuy.com. Look, with everything that we've been through, don't just think about your family. You got to think about you. Term life insurance. Get one that lets you use it while you're living. MyTermLifeGuy.com. It's that simple. MyTermLifeGuy.com. A $1 million policy for a healthy male non-smoker below $35 a month. MyTermLifeGuy.com.
Sponsored by Gold Coast Insurance Group.
Natalie Carmoli from Proven Winner Shrubs talks butterfly bushes.
Proven Winners has a few lines of butterfly bushes, and they're all perfect for any in-home gardener. The Lo and Behold line of butterfly bush has 7 colors and sizes, and it's a sterile variety, so it's also non-invasive. There's white Lo and Behold ice chip, lilac chip, or a deep blue blue chip. These are guaranteed to be full of flowers for you all summer, and they'll bring the butterflies to your garden from miles away. Now, if you're looking for a smaller plant, you can look for Lo and Behold Pink Microchip or Blue Chip Junior. They're both going to stay under 3 feet tall and wide.
Okay, I'm sold. Natalie, where can people in our area pick these up?
Check with your local garden center or your plant nursery. You can just look for Proven Winners Color Choice Shrubs. They're in that distinctive white container. You can also find full details about our full line of butterfly bushes and all of the shrubs we carry at provenwinners-shrubs.com.
At MedStar Health, we never stop thinking about how we treat our patients. That's why we're taking precautions so you can trust us to treat you safely with new measures to protect you. From staggering appointment times that reduce patient traffic to reconfiguring waiting rooms, because your safety is our top priority. Visit MedStarHealth.org/safe to learn more. MedStar Health. It's how we treat people.
Don't miss the Giant Barbecue Battle virtual experience benefiting USO Metro and the Capital Area Food Bank.
From June 1st through 30th,
America's virtual food and music festival heats up summer with interactive activities including cooking contests, monumental sports zone, giant corks to caps, special giveaways, and more.
Learn to cook like a pro from America's best chefs.
Then enter barbecue contests for a chance to win thousands of prizes.
Watch your favorite bands on the Pepsi Lays, Famous Dave's, and Monster Energy stages. Admission is free. Visit bbqdc.com for details.
6:38, Saturday morning update, WMAL. I'm Rick Fowler. We are joined by our own Bob Costantini. And Bob has been covering the protests in Washington this week. He will be in downtown Washington today. As Bob, they're calling this what may be the largest protest so far. And what do we know of the plans at this point?
Well, Rick, before you had me on here a short time ago, there was a traffic report about the massive closure of streets around, starting with the mall around the White House, all the way up to the edge of the Capitol property there. So that'll tell you something right now. And what we do know is that there are four or five, depending on what you think may be official, there are four or five locations where there be where there will be protests today. Starting off at noon, there's going to be a demonstration at the Lincoln Memorial with it's called the 1 million persons demo, which of course we've seen pictures of the Lincoln Memorial being surrounded by National Guard forces and other forces protecting it. So that's what's starting at noon. Then we have at 3 o'clock a march across the Woodrow Wilson Bridge, and I would warn anybody driving that way that there may be, you would expect, an attempt to try to shut down traffic on the bridge. We'll have to see how that plays out.
And Bob, when you say the Woodrow Wilson Bridge, you're talking about the Beltway?
Yes.
Okay. I just wanted to make sure there wasn't another Woodrow Wilson Bridge in downtown that I missed.
Which, as your listeners should well know, has a pedestrian walkway all the way across it. But again, I would urge drivers in that area to be prepared for the possibility that some demonstrators might want to try to shut the bridge down. That is something that is it's a tactic that's been used in a lot of the protests around the country and in D.C. A little bit. 3 o'clock, Woodrow Wilson Bridge. A rally at Lafayette Square is bound to be pretty big at 4 o'clock today. Now, remember, Lafayette Square is where the demonstrators were cleared out on Monday in a controversial move, to say the least. The square itself is now surrounded with that 8-foot-high steel fencing there. But consider all the people who will likely be standing along 16th Street to see the giant lettering that Mayor Bowser and the district put in place there. And frankly, if your listeners may forgive me for saying this, but it basically is a middle finger from the district to the Trump administration, to Attorney General Barr and the president about what happened there, I guess, on Monday. That's at 4 o'clock, and you can expect, again, that will stretch a long way up a long way up 16th Street, which leads right to the White House. And then there's a 5 o'clock protest at Malcolm X Park. And also we are hearing that there may be a demonstration in DuPont Circle as well, but I don't, I haven't seen any indication of what time that will be. So, the DC, the fire folks are planning for anywhere from 100 to 200,000 persons to be taking part in these protests.
Okay, I'm a little confused on the status of the troops. Of course, we had military troops and also the National Guard. And I understand that Mayor Bowser had the National Guard basically asked to leave the Marriott Marquis where some of them had been staying. What is the latest on the presence of the National Guard as we have these numerous demonstrations?
Well, in the District of Columbia, the mayor can ask for the National Guard. However, because it is a federal district, Rick, it requires federal authorization. And in this case, the president and the attorney general have basically given the authorization, the effective power of governor over the secretary of the army. Now, here's where things have gotten a bit muddied, by the way. It's and I've seen this, obviously. There are a number of forces, federal forces, the best way to put it, in riot gear. However, they are just wearing black. In some cases, they have shields that just say police. The question has been all week long, where are these, where are they coming from? What agencies in the federal government? Now, the attorney general, when pressed about this during the week, indicated that they were from the Bureau of Prisons. That may be part of the force there, because what AG Barr said was simply, this is the Bureau of Prisons has significant training in handling crowd control and violence and that sort of thing, which you maybe might expect. The other thing is the National Guard, the D.C. National Guard has been activated, but Mayor Bowser has also objected to outside guard forces coming in from Maryland, perhaps Virginia, and some other states that were called in by the Secretary of the Army. And that's why she has asked she sent a letter to the president directly, as a matter of fact, to get the guard to stand down, to get rid of people from out of state, the guard members who are from out of state, and also to effectively demilitarize the city. So there's a lot of back and forth. The president has called Mayor Bowser incompetent. There's a lot of that, a lot of political tension here as well over the way these demonstrations have been handled so far in the district.
Did you get a sense that the plan, I know you mentioned DuPont Circle, but for the most part, is the plan to have the protesters at different locations along the mall so that they're, you know, more in a park-like area as opposed to in the streets, as we saw a lot of earlier in the week?
Well, I'm sure that if you're in the business of crowd control in D.C. and other places today, but in D.C. in particular, you would hope that the crowd would stay, at least with the Lincoln Memorial protest that's going to start at noon. You hope that the crowd will stay right around the mall and the reflecting pool, right around the mall reflecting pool and the Lincoln Memorial, and stay there. However, there's no guarantee of that. And the crowds have at times during the week just taken off and marching through town. And so that there's always that possibility. And as long as I'll suggest this, as long as they remain peaceful, they could probably march along the whatever route they want necessarily. If the streets aren't all blocked off to pedestrians, they will only, as we know, only get so close to the White House complex. It is now completely surrounded with the 8-foot steel fencing all the way down through the ellipse. Attorney General Barr made clear that he is in charge of establishing the perimeter with the advice most likely of the Secret Service as well, the perimeter around the White House. That's how what happened Monday did happen, even as that's going to continue to be debated, I think, for a long time.
Our Bob Costantini, who will be covering events in downtown Washington today. Bob, thank you very, very much.
Sure, Rick. Take care. Thank you.
You bet. It's 6:47. This is the Saturday Morning Update on WMAL. And coming up next, we're going to change it up a little bit and something on the light side. And then in the 7 o'clock hour, we'll be joined by John Gizzi. And we're going to be talking with John this morning about a couple of topics, including the rumor that Joe Biden was going to be endorsed by President George W. Bush. That a rumor, and we'll see what John found out when he tracked down the former president's spokesperson. And John Gizzi also has been covering the protests, and he's noted a change in the tone toward week's end, and we'll talk with John about that this morning. Cheryl Atkinson joins us, and she's done an in-depth analysis of some of the high-profile police-involved court cases, and we'll talk about that with Cheryl. Lieutenant Colonel Tony Schaefer will join us. We'll talk with him about General Mattis's comments about President Trump and also this movement to defund the police and, as we may have heard, disband the police in Minneapolis and come up with an alternative. And we'll also be talking with K.T. McFarland, and we'll get her read on Rod Rosenstein's testimony earlier in the week. That's what's coming up on the Saturday Morning Update. Right now, Michelle Murray's in the WMAL Traffic Center.
On 270 southbound, right at the exit for Old Georgetown Road, watch out for some debris reported in the roadway affecting the right shoulder and the right acceleration lane. Those lanes are closed due to this incident. Earlier incidents on the outer loop at Kenilworth all moved over to the right shoulder. And do keep in mind, numerous streets closed in the district today for the demonstrations, including New York Avenue between 15th Street and 9th Street and Constitution Avenue between 19th Street and Pennsylvania Avenue in Northwest. Now from GarageDoorRepair.com, the WMAL Stormwatch 7 forecast.
Some areas of patchy fog this morning. Otherwise, though, partly cloudy today. Could see an isolated storm. Best chance south and east of D.C. Highs around 90 degrees. As we head later on tonight, cold front shifts through. Lower humidity. Lows back in the 60s. For your Sunday, plenty of sunshine. Very comfortable. Highs in the lower 80s. I'm ABC 7 meteorologist Alex Liggett in the Stormwatch 7 Weather Center.
70 degrees in the nation's capital, 650 on the Saturday morning update on WMAL.
Washington's Mall, WMAL, where Washington comes to talk.
It is the Saturday morning update on WMAL. I'm Rick Fowler. It's good to have you with us. And finally, as there is some warmer weather and sunshine and the COVID-19 quarantines, kind of brings up the question about, gee, what about those people who have wanted to go out and date and haven't been able to? What has it meant for sort of dating in general over the past several months? I thought an interesting conversation would be to have Kate O'Connor join us, and she is a professional matchmaker at It's Just Lunch. Kate, it's great to have you with us.
Great to be here. Thank you.
Well, what have you seen in terms of singles? How have they dealt with stay-at-home orders during COVID-19? Have singles and people who want to date had to put everything on hold? How has it been?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely been a roller coaster, but as you mentioned in the beginning, the weather is definitely heating up, and you cannot expect singles to just sit at home and not date or not to even consider dating. So we've definitely seen people coming out of their shell, and they're ready to meet someone serious. And this is honestly the perfect time, with most of us being quarantined at home, to actually take the time to get to know one another right now. So this is definitely becoming busier as quarantine and, all the COVID-19 rules are starting to settle down a bit.
You know, for some people, this has been an opportunity to catch up on life, catch up on things they've wanted to do for a long time. And for those who are still working from home and staying in place, how do you make the most out of your time at home when it comes to potentially getting back into the dating scene?
Yeah, absolutely. Definitely self-care is going to be number one. A lot of my DC people, they're not commuting anymore, so they have time to go to the gym and organize their closet or just like revamp their home so that they're feeling, 100%. But really taking care of yourself and feeling healthy is going to be important. Another thing that we're also recommending is a dating detox, which does not mean stop dating. It means start figuring out what you're looking for, try new things, meet new people, really put yourself out there and figure out what exactly you need and what do you want to come out of COVID. So we're calling this the COVID cocoon, and we want everyone to come out as a pretty little butterfly.
A lot of singles are going out on virtual dates. And if you do that, how do you make the right impression and connection virtually? I mean, it could be everything from the background if you're doing a Zoom call or something.
Exactly. And, we want it to be as face-to-face as possible. So having a clean background is good. Having nice lighting. Dress to impress. Don't show up in your sweatpants and just roll out of bed. Like, you want to act like you would as if you are sitting down at a restaurant on a date. But definitely, have a drink, have a coffee. I would not recommend eating because that draws a lot of unnecessary attention. But, just be yourself. Don't be, afraid to ask questions about what's going on right now, because I do feel like this is a great way to learn about how somebody is handling a pandemic. So you can really learn a lot from a person that way. But, just as long as you're being yourself and you're clean and you're bright, that's the best way to do a virtual date.
And how do you end that first virtual date?
Yeah.
It's not like the check has come and, it's time to go out of the restaurant. How do you go about that?
Right. So a lot of our clients are talking about meeting up in person after they've met. And especially if there's chemistry there, there's no need to go on another virtual date unless you're not feeling comfortable. But most of our clients, they're meeting up in person. So that's a good way to change the subject and kind of wrap it up. I would not be on a virtual date for 3 hours. I would try to keep it around 45 minutes to an hour. And, if things are not really going in the right direction, just say, hey, look, I had a really great night and I've got to get some things wrapped up for work tomorrow. So, we'll see where this goes. But there's definitely ways that you can get out of that without being awkward.
So as we see the quarantine restrictions start to ease, people are probably getting ready to go out and start meeting again in person. And that brings up the safety issues. It also could be the first time you've actually gone out with somebody for the first time and you're wearing a mask.
Yeah, no, I know. It's not what I would recommend pre-COVID, but you definitely want to be safe. That is not saying you have to wear your mask on the entire date. Like, some people are pulling their mask down a little bit as long as they're staying at a safe distance. And, like, again, you're going to need to do that if you're, like, having a sip of water, you know. So just be safe. But that's the blessing with virtual dating is you can at least see each other without the mask, you know, in person. But, you know, just stay safe. Don't share any drinks. Don't share food together. Take your time getting to know each other for when it is okay to actually have a physical touch. But just be safe and follow the guidelines that the CDC is telling us that we need to do.
Well, I know It's Just Lunch is a little bit different because you cater to busy professionals. Are you actually setting up the virtual meetings at this point?
Oh, yeah. We work with our clients' schedules, and we take care of everything. So there's not really a lot of input that the client is going to need to do. They just have to show up for their virtual date. So we set everything up for our clients to make this a painless experience. Here's something I can share about what I'm seeing from the dates that we've been doing with virtual dates that I think is really important. Since we've switched over to virtual dating, if you have chemistry on that first date, can you imagine the sparks that you're going to have when you actually meet that person face-to-face? And what we've been seeing with It's Just Lunch is our clients, if they've met up in person after that first virtual date, more than, I would say, 60% of the time, that is going to be your boyfriend or girlfriend for COVID. That's what we're seeing at It's Just Lunch. So it's still possible to find love, and this is absolutely the time to do it.
So if somebody wants to check it out, It's Just Lunch, tell us the best way to contact you.
Right. You can please find us at www.itsjustlunchdc.com, or you can reach us at our number, which is 202-466-4333.
Kate O'Connor, professional matchmaker at It's Just Lunch. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
It is 6:57. It is a Saturday morning update on WMAL. 7 o'clock hour coming up. John Gizzi, Lieutenant Colonel Tony Schaefer, KT McFarland, and Cheryl Atkinson.
Have you met a true hero lately? Hi, it's Jonathan Cotton with the Good Feet Store, and I've been thinking about heroes that I work with. Take Reese, for example, one of our store managers. Reese served in Afghanistan and sustained significant injuries when his MRAP vehicle was disabled by an IED. He was told he would never walk without a cane. However, after he was fitted with Good Feet arch supports, he was able to walk without a limp and without a cane. His service as a manager is exemplary, and we are proud to have Reese on the Good Feet team. The story doesn't stop there, though. Reese fell in love and got married to a beautiful nurse named Erica. And during this pandemic, who was on the front lines taking care of COVID-19 patients? You guessed it, Erica. Heroes tend to stick together. The Good Feet Store says thank you to all of our heroes. We especially say thank you to the heroes among us, such as Reese and Erica, for the many ways they have served us all. Come by the Good Feet Store and see what Good Feet Arch Supports can do for you. You never know. You might bump into a hero.
When it comes to using data, everyone is different. Which is why Xfinity Mobile created a different kind of wireless network. One that's designed to save you money by letting you design your own data, giving you more choice and control compared to other top wireless carriers. Now, you can choose unlimited, shared data, or mixed lines of each and switch any line, anytime. No one else lets you do that. Or automatically connects you to millions of secure Wi-Fi hotspots and the best LTE everywhere else. So no matter where you are, we've got you covered. All while saving up to $400 a year on your wireless bill. Xfinity Mobile. It's wireless reimagined. Call, visit a store, or go to xfinitymobile.com today. Simple. Easy. Awesome. Restrictions apply. Not available in all areas. Requires residential postpay Xfinity Internet. Actual savings vary and are not guaranteed. For Xfinity Mobile broadband disclosures, visit www.xfinity.com/mobile.
Taxes, taxes, taxes. They shouldn't be the driver behind your investment decisions, but tax efficiency could make a big difference in what you owe Uncle Sam.
Hi, this is Greg Smith, co-host of WML's Wise Investor Show, reminding you that your financial advisor can help you make sure that your portfolio is tax smart and in line with your goals.
Greg Smith and the Wise Investor Group are affiliated with Robert W. Baird & Company. To reach Greg, call 1-866-758-9473 or log on to thewiseinvestorgroup.com and resolve to become a better informed wise investor.
WMAL-FM, Woodbridge, Washington. Now, more than ever, depend on 105.9 FM WMAL, a Cumulus station. News.